Thank you, Aurora. I love her testimony. And she is such a blessing. Does everybody know Aurora? Such a blessing. So awesome. Okay. Excuse me. I got a little tickle cough and I chewed gum to try to help. So I thought of those two ladies. They kind of have a lot, they remind me of Ruth in a lot of ways, and I wanted somebody to share a testimony with a little bit of Naomi in it. Although that has Naomi in it too. It's just, God's all over everything. So I am going to share a testimony about my mother. I'm going to share her testimony because she's not able to come and share it herself. My mom was a pretty naturally reserved woman, but when it came to Jesus, she was very zealous, and she would love to share how good he had been to her. She took every opportunity to share Jesus with people. So I'm really honored to share mom's story. And two main points that I think I'd like to make from her life, that I've witnessed from her life, is that she had a hard life, but the Lord's kindness has never forsaken the living or the dead. Like Matt shared, her life is a great illustration. She had hard things, but he never forsook her. And secondly, she is a great example of Hesed, the loving kindness to all. She, at a high cost to herself, she loved people and loves people. So I'm a witness to her life and the grace of God in her life. So this is mom's story, Wanda Faye Keith, part one, born into obscurity and poverty. So when we read the book of Ruth today and you cross over that word famine, it doesn't mean a lot to us because most of us haven't missed too many meals. We don't really know true poverty. But my mom's mom, Grandma Holloway, she could sit down and have some good conversations with Naomi because she knew poverty very well. She was the oldest of 13 kids, and she grew up in coal mining camps in West Virginia and southeastern Kentucky. And this was in the 1920s and 30s, and the Depression was bad everywhere, but it hit hard in southeastern Kentucky, West Virginia, those places. My grandma, my mom's mom, had to quit school after second grade because she had to help put food on the table for her parents and siblings. She shared with me many times she didn't really get to learn to read well until much later in life she became a Christian and God helped her learn to read, and she read the Bible through many, many times. So as a little girl, my grandmother went from house to house. She didn't get to live with her family. She was on loan to all the families in the coal mining camps. So when a woman was having a baby, she would go and take care of them and cook and clean and take care of their children. When she was 22, she met and married another coal miner, my grandpa. And so my mom was born on April 18th, 1940 in McCreary County, Kentucky. That I looked it up today so I could tell you accurately. McCreary County is the poorest county in the state of Kentucky, and it has been for many years, so that's my claim to fame. That's where I was born. But back then, in 1940, the Stearns Coal and Lumber Company was strong in McCreary County, and they came in. The owners were from the north, but they came in and they took the lumber. They got all the coal, and people worked there. And Grandpa worked there, and they were paid in scrip. You probably have heard about that in your history classes. And Grandma used to talk about it. They didn't pay you enough to really make it. You would end up in debt just to buy flour. And so Mom's family was extremely poor. And 10 years later and a few kids later, the mines dried up. So by 1950, most of the coal was out of there, and the Stearns Coal and Lumber Company took off with their profits and left the area. So there wasn't really any work to be had. So just like a lot of people did, Grandpa took off up north. He went to Ohio to try to find work. And Grandma followed along with her children, and she was so poor, they didn't have a place to live. She went to a hotel, she went to the manager and said, "I don't have anywhere to stay with these kids." Grandpa was off trying to find work. So she was paid by cleaning the other hotel rooms, and she said the bed bugs were terrible, and she talked about killing bed bugs. And she would, like, mom, she didn't have childcare, so mom, she would lift the corner of the bedstead and put it down on the tail end of mom's, like, long sleeping gown. So she would be in the room. Todd, she couldn't get around to any trouble. She would just be alone while grandma cleaned out rooms. So just drawing a little picture of the kind of poverty they were in. So my mom went from being born in the country, but she was raised in the suburbs and the cities of Ohio. And she wasn't poor just in a financial sense, but also in spiritual matters. Her parents did not know God. My grandma and grandpa were neither one Christians. And they were so busy just keeping hunger at bay, they didn't have a lot of time to give to her. She wasn't taught the Bible or much else. And she told me the story about she couldn't see all through school. She was in public school. She couldn't see the board. Finally, at age 15, a teacher got her in contact with the Salvation Army, and she got her first pair of glasses at age 15, and she could see the world and was amazed. So when mom met my dad, she was only 16 years old. And she looked mature for her age, to give him some credit, and it was, 1956. So times were different. But he was a handsome sailor, fresh out of the Navy, coming home from the Korean War. And she thought, this is a good idea. I'm going to improve my life. So they eloped with the little brother in tow, acting as chaperone, so everything was above board. They eloped, ran away, got married. And mom said, 2 weeks into the marriage, she realized what she had done to herself. My dad got drunk and wrecked a car, maybe nearly killed somebody, and she, for the first time, realized she had married an alcoholic. And so her life that she thought was hard just got harder. The two of them moved back to McQuarrie County, the podunk, just the backwoods, and started their life together. And this part of her mom's story reminds me a little bit of Ruth. Mom's mother-in-law, my grandma Keith, dad's mom, took mom, a little 16-year-old, under her wing. She taught her to tend a garden, to can vegetables. She's the one who taught mom how to clean a deer. And she taught her how to trust in Jesus. So she taught her the word of God. My grandma Keith was a strong Christian. And taught her all about and passed on her love for Jesus to my mom. So at 19 years old and 8 months pregnant, my mom was baptized in a creek on a cold November day. And we have a little snapshot of her in the water. Part two, the faithful suffering servant. So mom's life was so hard. And I know people have it worse, but she had a hard life. She eventually had several children to raise, and dad, her husband, was struggling with serious mental illness, and he did use alcohol kind of to help, to self-medicate, which only made things way worse. Eventually, dad was so bad, he was hospitalized. And this is the late 1960s, and there's not been a worse time to have a mental illness probably than the 1960s. He was a guinea pig for electric shock therapy. She was so stretched thin between trying to care for kids, care for a mentally ill husband. But she really dug deep into the Word of God and depended on Jesus for her life. She did not have a lot of support around her at that time, so she went straight to God, directly to the Lord. And she prayed constantly for Dad's salvation. Meanwhile, Grandma Keith, Dad's mom, the Christian, became so ill. She was very sick, and she needed intensive nursing, like the kind of stuff nobody wants to do. My mom did for my grandma. Grandma moved into the house. So on top of taking care of Dad, taking care of the children, she's now caring for her mother-in-law. And mom was gentle and loving. And she used to say how much Grandma Keith had given to her. She gave her the gospel. So mom was like, I owe her everything. And also over the years, I've seen my mom take care of her own mom and dad, each through their sickness. Also, like my elderly brother-in-law, who was she changed diapers for her brother-in-law. Like, she laid down her life in incredible ways. And I never once heard her complain about it. So, sorry. She showed me firsthand what Hesed is. So, okay. So in the early 1970s, which is when I came along, Dad was no longer able to work, but he was also too proud to take any kind of government assistance. So Mom took the initiative, and she went to work in a factory sewing shirts. It's the one factory in all of Macquarie County, make shirts. Of course, she earned far too little to now support a family of seven. And all this time, Mom is on her knees praying. And so just stop right there. Some of my foundational memories in life, seriously, this happened to me many times in my childhood. I would go into a dark room, a dark bedroom, and bump into Mom. She was kneeled down at the side of the bed praying. That was a common occurrence. She was off praying, and I would bump into her. Also, I'd wake up in the wee hours of the morning, and I would see a little light and look in, and Mom's in the Bible. She's reading the Bible. So she just went straight to the source for everything. One of the biggest things I took pride in as a child was my mom's knowledge of the Bible. There wasn't a question you could ask that she didn't know. And a lot of the Bible she could just quote to you. But we were so proud of her. It's like, just ask Mom. She knows all the answers to the questions. Let's see. Okay. So God answered Mom's prayers for help during this season in a curious way, a surprising way. She and Dad came across a newspaper article about grants for people to go to college. Nobody had been to college on either side of the family. So this little high school dropout boldly took a huge leap of faith. She took the GED and she headed off to Cumberland College to become a school teacher. She used to drive that road, what is that, 92? It goes from Macquarie County over to Cumberland. Just a difficult road back then, especially in the winter, and she drove it 5 days a week. She crammed 3 years of 4 years of college into 3 years by getting special permission to take extra. And she would still come home, cook dinner, and take care of us. She graduated, by the way, with a 4.0, and my dad was so proud of her and showed everybody her grades. But she always gave God the credit. Part three. Mom saw God answer prayers. Mom prayed for God's help in everything. And she taught me little lessons. One time I had to go to the dentist, and Erica's not here to hear this. I was in fourth grade the first time I ever made it to a dentist's office. We didn't do that. I had to go because I chipped a tooth, and they found cavities, surprise, surprise. So I had to go by myself and go get fillings. I was so terrified, but Mom just took me aside and she taught me what to do. She said, you need to meditate on this scripture. She gave me the verse to meditate on, and she taught me how to say, what time I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. I probably said it 5 million times because I was really terrified. But she taught me how to, like she had done, she had learned to use the word, to meditate on the word, and she taught me that. Also, she taught me this. She said, if I was worried about college, something in school, she said, pray that God will give you grace in the sight of your professor. Pray before you go to meet with your professor. And I did it, and it worked. God answered those prayers. She taught us at a very young age to pray for salvation. Well, some of my earliest memories, I was little bitty. We prayed together, and we named all the family members, God, please save. Uncle Hubert, please save, you know, Uncle Coy. They might hear that. Anyway, so she taught me how to pray for the lost. We of course was praying for Dad all that time. And when I was 7 years old, my dad was miraculously healed of alcoholism. I don't say that lightly because I know it's a process for most people, but God took it away from him and he was saved. Mom came close to death on a couple of occasions due to illness. One of the worst times, she was diagnosed with advanced malignant melanoma on her back. And a surgeon removed it. It was very deep. And he warned her. He said, we've taken this out. You've got to get constant blood work. It's likely spread. So you need to prepare. You need to be prepared because this could lead to death. So mom was upset. They went home. She went to her bed and she prayed by herself. And she describes what happened next as she was praying to the Lord. And she said she felt like liquid love pouring down through her body from her head to her toe. And she felt like God was healing her, like every cell in her body was being healed. And she opened her Bible there on her bed, and the Bible opened to Psalm 118:17. And this became mom's life verse. It says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." So mom hopped up from bed. That was her answer. She wasn't worried about cancer ever again, or that malignant melanoma. She was full of joy. She came out and told us, "God healed me," and got busy working. The melanoma never showed up again. And mom took she enjoyed so much telling people how God had healed her all through her life. Part 3, the bitter made sweet. Mom became a widow at a fairly young age of 61. She had retired from teaching at that point to take care of my dad. He suffered from emphysema. I think he smoked cigarettes from the time he was 9 years old. So she went through a hard time taking care of him. It was terrible sickness. But she, when he passed away, she again became familiar with tight purse strings. But she began to really thrive. She poured all her time into fasting and prayer and the Bible, the Word of God, and serving people. She had to also like substitute teach to support herself. But she ran a food pantry for her church. She turned her home into a shelter for abused women. She served faithfully the body that she was in. And she would travel. She'd visit us kids. And she kept this prayer notebook. I mean, her Bible. It was the Bible and then all these notebooks and these papers everywhere she went. And it was full of names of not only her family and friends, but everyone in her church. The church in Texas that she visited when she was with my brother, all the names of that church, people in that church. And she had all the names of LCF, TCF in her book. So if you were in this church directory, if you were in the CF church directory before 2018, my mother has prayed for you. And she did this not once a week, but every single day. And she did not eat breakfast until she had completed her prayer list. And I would say, "Mom, you've got to eat. You're working for the Lord. Workers should eat." Because I got worried about her. But she just insisted. She lived with me for years. And Sadie was a little girl. And she would go in and visit Grandma in the middle of her trying to pray and stuff, which was good. Mom loved her to do that. But one day, Sadie came downstairs and she informed us. She said, "Grandma is a real Christian." So I was like, not her father, Chad the pastor, not her mother working to serve the church, always busy doing, but her grandma, who was like Mary and sat at the feet of Jesus, was the real Christian. Sadie, you were right. So she just saw mom spending the majority of her time in prayer, fasting, reading the word. And mom did not see this as a drudgery. It was her joy. She was thrilled to get to do that. She was like, "This is amazing. It was the best time in her life." And after all the bitter and difficult days of her life from her childhood on, now she was free to just wait at the feet of Jesus, and she just thrived. She loved it. Part 5, and I'm coming to the end. He is faithful and will never leave you. When I was little, I remember mom saying to me, I really hope I'd never lose my mental faculties. She knew a lady, an older lady in church who had had a stroke or something and didn't know anymore. And you know how sometimes they'll say things or be mean and it wasn't who they really were. And she never wanted to forget the Lord or who she was in God. And it was kind of like a fear to her. So, sadly, mom has dementia. And she has lost a lot of herself over the past 5 years. But I'm really happy to report this to you all. The Holy Spirit is still in Mom. He has not forsaken her. She can't read the Bible, and she can't read through all those names and pray for them like she used to. But she can still worship. She can remember every word of the hymns. She loves those Gaither fam, you know, the vocal Gaither vocal band, those videos. And she'll sing right along, and tears will run down her face, and she has the joy of the Lord on her face. She can't remember who her husband was most days. She can't remember who her kids were. She knows that I belong with her, but not exactly who I am most of the time. Sometimes she gets it. She can't remember much about her history at all, but she remembers Jesus. She's never once forgotten him. And as I've taken her to doctor visits over the last few years, she's had to undergo some very painful procedures. It's hard because she doesn't really understand why she's there, why she's having to do this. So then when they hurt her, it's hard. And it's been amazing and such a comfort to me, because when she's in pain, she starts to pray out loud, and she'll pray in her prayer language right out in the room with these doctors. And she was always very private about things of the Holy Spirit. And so she would be appalled to know that she's doing that. And I've gotten some very funny looks. And I think, maybe, you know, they just think it's her dementia. And one time a doctor said to me, "What language is that?" I was like, "It's my mom's." I don't know. But she's still able, the Holy Spirit is in her and calling out for help to God, even though her mind is gone. And so to know that the Holy Spirit in us is not something that the physical ravages of time can destroy is such a comfort. So Naomi didn't get to live long enough to see the fruit of her life come into its fullness, to see that she was going to be one of the great-grandmothers of Jesus. In a similar way, we can't really see all that Mom's story is going to become, and you know, how it's going to be knit into the greater purposes of God. But I really believe one day in eternity we will. So next week, Mom turns 84, and she just had a hard life in many ways, but she displayed the kind of feminine strength that Ruth and Naomi had. In the midst of trials, she put her faith firmly in God and took the steps of faith to serve and to give and to love in a selfless way. And the Father poured out his Spirit into her, filling her with joy and love and meeting all her needs. But when she still was more herself, she would say, "I've had such a good life." She said, "God has been so good to me. I can't complain about anything." So her perspective on her life is very positive because God's walked with her through it all. And that's all I have to say about Mom. But I do want to say a thank you, because a lot of these ladies in this room have served Mom and shown loving kindness. The ladies in church have come around her and helped her. They've given Kathy respite to go to church, or they've missed church so she can go. And so I really appreciate you all. I want to say thank you to all those who've served Mom. So that's all. Thanks.